celebrating success, learning from legends, and growing poppies. This is Tall Poppy Talk with Grace Lewis.
Kia ora and welcome to Tall Poppy Talk. Today we have Devon Eastwood. She is the founder and creative director at Silver Linings Collective Limited. As a jewellery designer and business owner, Silver Linings Collective is inspired to craft meaningful jewellery with a core focus on quality and longevity. Devon's entrepreneurial journey began post-high school when she gained valuable marketing experience in the field. She then went headfirst into a two-year OE full of solo travelling and working, and then upon her return to New Zealand spent years learning critical supply chain and category management with Mitre 10, which is a powerhouse organisation in Aotearoa, New Zealand. All this knowledge and practical experience propelled Devon when she decided to turn her dream into a reality and launch Silver Linings Collective in 2018. After balancing entrepreneurship with her day job for a few years, like years, people, Silver Linings Collective exponentially grew, and now she's still juggling a busy lifestyle as a business owner, mum, and designer. So in the past year, Devon has leaned into the storytelling of not only her journey, but inspiring others from some podcasts she's doing to articles. She's just demonstrating the value of a unique journey and building a strong support network in your pursuits. Devon, you're a mum, you're a business owner, you're a jewelry designer and a cultivator of an online community. I'm just so excited to have you on the podcast today. My first question is, where and how are you today?
Hello, thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited. So this is my second podcast. And I usually get really nervous, but you've made me feel like quite comfortable. So thank you for that. At the moment, I am literally sitting in my living room at home. Obviously, I'm from Cambridge, New Zealand, which you are as well.
Yes, yes. And we discovered in like the lead up that we have some mutual friends, shout out Abbott and Georgia. And Cambridge, though, are you originally a Cambridge girl or did you move there?
No, so I moved down to Cambridge about 5.5 years ago, actually. Originally born and bred in Auckland, grew up on the North Shore, so went to Carmel College. That's where I did all my schooling years. But I've always been really open to kind of living wherever, kind of like where life takes me. But it wasn't until I returned home from my OE, and then fast forward 3 years later, my partner and I were doing long distance, and he's from Cambridge. So I ended up making the move down and decided to build a house and start a family and, you know, list goes on, run a business.
And something like I can't help but jump straight into it with you is like, especially in these past 5 years, when I think about identity, which is something I do a lot with high performers, which you are, is like you are so strongly connected to your identity, whether it's like traveler or mum or business owner, but for you in the past 5 years, like 5 years ago it didn't include necessarily, well, it with the start, but now it's like business owner, boss, leader, mum, and mum to two soon, congrats. But like literally the last 5 years has seen of course, but you've seen such like a big shift in your life across the board in the past 5 years. So I know it's a huge question, but to ground us, can you talk through the journey of Silver Linings Collective Limited and how like it's grown, but you've grown in the past 5 years?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, when you put it like that, I feel like I have grown up in the lot, like in the past 5 years so much. Although I haven't, you know, gone overseas and done that whole traveling thing within those 5 years, that was when I was 19, I went overseas. And I think that it all started really when I left school. So I actually dropped out of school when I was 17. I had a big passion for netball back then. And I've unfortunately did my ACL. So I had to have a massive knee surgery and I never really bounced back. So I ended up dropping out of school because I was not able to play for, like, netball. And I passed level three midway year 13. And decided to get a job and work for a couple of years before heading overseas to London. So I got a job at Bauer Media. I don't know what it's called these days, but it's you know, Women's Day magazine, Next magazine, Australian Women's Weekly, like those kind of big magazine titles, I guess you could say. So I was there and I was their male girl. I was earning, I think, like minimum wage. And 3 months in, I ended up building some really great relationships with key people there. And I got offered a job as a circulation marketing executive. And that's just when I like soaked up all this knowledge. But my plan was still to go overseas. So ended up making the decision to leave after that role of 1 year. And yeah, went over to London for 2 years, lived in Cardiff, so in Wales as well. Did lots of traveling and then came home super broke and decided, okay, I need to get a job. So I went through a recruiting agency and they put me in touch with Mitre 10 and I got an interview. And yeah, I thought it was going to be building full of old greasy men with tool belts and so forth. But it was actually just the best place for someone kind of still fresh out of the field. Like I still didn't really have any huge work experience, and ended up being there for 3 years. So I was the outdoor furniture category assistant, meaning I would help assist my manager to select the range on behalf of Mitre 10, Mitre 10 Mega, and Hammer Hardware stores, outdoor furniture, which was just such a great opportunity. And I kind of do believe everything happens for a reason, and this was one of them, because I would not be doing what I'm doing today if it wasn't for that job opportunity. And yeah, it was honestly such a cool place to work. I was in just the right space in terms of if I had any marketing questions, people were there for me to like lean on. Importing and exporting, negotiating contracts, all that kind of thing. There was just a team for every possible question I had, you know, so I was just soaking up all the knowledge while being there. But a time kind of came, I think it was like 3 years into the job, where I needed a bit more both in my personal and professional life. And it was a time where like social media was only just kind of coming to a fruition in terms of like influencers and people jumping on and actually marketing their product and business on Instagram. So I thought, okay, why not, you know, find something to do like as a side hobby, kind of like a side hustle, I suppose, as well as being a hobby and putting a bit of passion behind it. Thought of so many ideas, and then jewelry just seemed to stick. And I always had a like love and a passion for jewelry. I remember as a kid, my grandparents always buying me jewelry for my birthday and for Christmas. And I had quite the Pandora collection back then. And what I really like loved about Pandora was it was like an affordable price point. And my kind of thing going forwards was I wanted to bring out and create meaningful on-trend jewelry that was still affordable. Whereas this day and age, you can see some gold-plated jewelry and it retails for $300-$400. And I'm like, oh my gosh, that is like a huge margin, especially if it's not made in New Zealand. So trying to bring that to the customer for an affordable price point was one of my main goals. And also it wasn't really to make money. I had no ambition that like to do this full time. It wasn't until I started seeing an interest that I was like, oh my gosh, this could be my full-time job, and really started to think about it. And then I got the drive and became even more determined to make it my full-time job, and here we are. So yeah, it's pretty wicked.
Thank you. It's like hearing you talk, I'm getting like excited and motivated, which is so cool. And I think a big thing that comes through with you and like your content online is like this genuine like authenticity with it. And I'd love if you could touch upon too, like we spoke about before we started recording, is like, yeah, I hate the word dropped out, like you chose to leave school early because you'd done what you needed to do and injuries suck. So the fact that netball kind of that door shut must have been really hard, by the way, as an athlete. I can't imagine that. That's a different podcast entirely. Yeah. But the fact that like 3 months into your role with Bauer Media, you get an opportunity. So clearly you're a hard worker. And then when you're at Mitre 10, like your opportunities escalate further and further. Right. So it's like, what do you reckon's like your work ethic or the tenacity, like something you bring to the table. It's like, yes, there's some parts that are difficult, but like you make up for it in bounds in work ethic.
I think it's like I've always been a very people person. And for me, relationships have always mattered, kind of, you know, like you have to be relatable. And even from when you're young, to make friends, right? There's got to be something for someone to relate to you in order for you to have a good conversation, to get along with that person. And I have always been able to make friends quite easily. My mum used to say when I was little, I could make friends with the letterbox. So, you know, just go and talk to whoever and whenever, I'd just go and make a friend. And I do think that's really helped me later on in life as well. Even now with like our stockers, I could go out and have a drink with a lot of them and it'd be like more of a friendly catch up than to like professional, although we do still keep it professional. So it's that really fine line and juggling act, but I could be friends with a lot of these people, you know?
It's friendly, but also professional because like, I work in marketing and like agency and I'll have my designers and it's like, yes, I'm an account executive and it's like, we're friendly with this, but also if I really need something done, because I have a genuinely good rapport and relationship, they're going to be like, okay, yeah, like,
yeah, totally.
I'll get that done. Like, don't worry. Whereas, and like, that's professional, but it's like the friendliness too. And even in this
totally
like relationship we have now, it's like, I'm being professional in the sense of like, we're chatting, you are so easy to talk to, but also I'm like, hey, like, let me go through the A, B, and C to make sure we, like, there's still a task at hand that needs to be achieved, but you can also have good vibes and friendliness on top of that. Like, they can both be there.
Being relatable, you know, gets you places. And just, like, also just don't be a dick.
Honestly, don't be a dick is so huge because, too, like, New Zealand, especially New Zealand business, like, it's too small of a country where people do know each other that if you are a dick, like, I'm sure someone somewhere is going to be like, oh, I've heard about you.
Yeah, I know. So it's, yeah, I think for me, relationships have always been really important.
Something too on your podcast with Board to Boss with Georgia, was like, I loved the part where you guys were talking about like, someone is walking down the street and you're like, they're wearing my jewelry. Like that must just be the coolest feeling. Like, do you recall maybe like when you first saw it like out in the wild where it was someone you didn't know and you were like,
yes,
shit, those are my earrings. Like, what did that feel like?
I actually remember it was up in Mangawhai at my parents' batch, and yeah, this lady walked past and she was wearing our Florence earrings, which isn't like, it's a great selling design, but it's not like our best seller. And I was like, I had to double look and I was like, oh my gosh, I think she's wearing our Florence earrings. And my mum had a look and then my sister, and we're like, oh my God, that is so cool. And like, you know, you kind of like, oh my God. And it's just having like those people around you, you know, supporting you and encouraging you and getting just as excited as you are when something like that happens. And still to this day, like we're 6 years in, I still double take at people's like ears or necklaces and I'm like, yep, that's one of ours. And you get really excited about it. I love it. It's such a cool feeling. Yeah.
Beautiful. And that's like why you do it for so many reasons. But something that's so cool about Silver Linings Collective is like, it is quality, but your point about affordability, because it could be so easy for you to like try and just jack up the profit. Because like consumers are kind of used to having to pay a premium for things, but like the affordability and like the genuine quality and all that stuff, I feel like is where your character is creeping in even more to the product, because it's like you are genuine, you want things to be good and like long lasting the same way your relationships are, so it's like you're mirrored in your products in like a subconscious conscious way as well.
It was really important for me to make it affordable, but also like just, you know, have that good quality there, because you don't want to, you know, if it's not good then you're going to get people either return it or not buy from you, so you have to kind of prove it in that point as well, that it is good quality, it is made to last. And you have to have that adaptability. Oh my gosh, you have to help me out here.
adaptability.
Oh, you said it. Yeah.
Or go with it.
At least one of us got it right. You have to have that. I don't even want to say it because I'm not going to get it right. You just have to be adaptable.
Adaptability.
Okay? And something that, you know, we've learned is even like our jewelry is sterling silver and then 18 karat gold plated. And we have care instructions that say, hey, look, like, especially with gold, silver's fine, obviously, that's a precious metal and that's made to last like forever. Anything that is plated, eventually the plating will wear off over time. That's why we give people care instructions to follow, e.g. like remove it when you have a spa, that kind of thing. And you need to be adaptable and your business needs to adapt to, you know, their customers. And for us, we started noticing that one of our particular necklaces, it's actually called the axle chain. That is like something that people do not take off. Like they wear it day in, day out. They sleep in it. They train in it. They swim in it. So in order for us, not that we had heaps of returns because we didn't, but in order for us to adapt, we had to think of another way that we could still keep this design because it sells really well, but how can we stop the plating wearing off? So we've actually like brought out a new range. It's just like our everyday range where it is actually in stainless steel and it's a PVD plated, which you can't actually do with sterling silver. It's a different type of plating and it means that it's water resistant, it's tarnish free. You can go swimming, you can go in the spa. So I think like in business, you have to be really adaptable to change and also like you'll figure that out as the years go on as well. And that's like a small change that we have made so that people get like that longevity as well.
You have the best intentions of, okay, this is how you care for them. But like, also like the realism of like, okay, but I'm not going to take it off. Correct. Because I like to wear it all the time.
Yeah.
Adapting to them.
Totally. So especially when it's something that, like for instance, our soulless earrings, they're our best sellers. People take them off because they don't sleep in them. They're like, they'll stab you in the head when you go to sleep. You know, they're uncomfortable to sleep in. They're not made to go to sleep in. So they'll take them out. So we have no problem with our plating with these earrings. But if you get like a necklace chain that is a great layering chain, people just don't take it off. They forget about it. It's one of those kind of forgettable things that you just don't do. So we just made these small changes and so far so good. People are wearing them and not having any issues with them.
That's like something I wouldn't even like obviously think about, but that's being a business owner and like the things that with customer service, like you have to make changes and adjustments. And like kind of slight tangent, but a second question I had, I'm so interested in is like, as you were saying, like, you know, people train, they want to sleep or swim or do whatever in this stuff, but also like now one of your other identities as a mum, factoring in like all of that stuff of like what kids will do and they might grab it or do things like that, like the segue now into this line of questioning I have for you is like, as a mum, how has that like, I guess, can not even contributed, but like how has motherhood like influenced your perspective on business and then time management as well?
Good question. Time management. I feel like I've always been okay at time management. I think that's because I get anxiety around not being on time. So if I'm ever late to something, I'll have anxiety like 10 minutes before, oh my God, I'm not going to make it. So that's why I'm organized. Even more so now that I have soon to be kids, because you've literally got this little window to get things done. And if you don't get it done in that, like during that time, obviously you're going to have to do it kind of outside those hours, which impacts the family, I suppose you could say. There's nothing worse than picking Bo up, putting her in front of the TV for, you know, 2 hours while I'm still working because I didn't manage my time wisely during the day. But also like just in business in general, you have, even though you work for yourself, you have so many deadlines that you need to meet in order for things to tick over and keep the ball rolling. So for instance, we are doing our first collaboration with a fashion influencer, which is super exciting. This is coming out in the next couple of weeks. But our publicist Tess, she's just pitched to the magazines about this whole collab that we're doing, and it's really exciting. They've asked for images and they need it by this deadline because they're going to print on this deadline. And we're like, oh my gosh. So, you know, the pressure's always on. We need to, they put pressure on us. I put pressure on my manufacturers to get the photos. It's constant. Like, it's never ending. You just have to manage your time wisely and best you can.
That's like one of those things where it's like, drink more water and sleep. Like, you know, you should do it, but then
I know.
When you hear it, you're like, I know I should manage my like, and I think too, like, something for me, obviously I don't have a business or a child, but like, even I have my day job and then the podcast, and sometimes like you want to still socialize or do whatever. Like today I wasn't responding to other messages, but when yours come in, I had like Devin's notifications turned on, so like when you responded I was like, oh, I'm ready to go. And in terms of like when you have to prioritize things, it's like, okay, are there things I know I'm going to get to maybe tonight or tomorrow, but I'm like, okay, but my list of priorities today, it's like Devin comes in on top because we have an interview tonight that like we need to, I need to make sure like we're good both ways. So I'm sure you would have that, like if your manufacturers are like, hey Devin, like there's an issue or something's come up, we need your answer now, even though you might be in the middle of something else, it's like, I am sorry, we got to come back to this, like knowing where your priorities are in terms of like, yeah, right now, in order for things to keep going smoothly, I'm gonna have to stop doing this because this priority takes priority.
Yeah, yeah, and that's it. It's a fine juggling act. I think also, you know, when you're a business owner, you wear majority of like all the hats, right? So you've got your marketing, you've got, you know, creating EDMs that you want to send out, as well as, you know, getting photography done, product design, collaborations, organizing that, doing all the contracts. There is a lot to think about, which goes unseen. But it is just finding that balance between family time and business time. Like, I'm guilty. I ended up working on Saturday to get this collaboration all done and dusted. It ended up getting shipped out on a Saturday, not our usual Friday, because manufacturers were under the pump trying to get the samples done, to get the clear cuts and to send to this person to get some great lifestyle shots. But I had to do that in order to make this like to happen. So it's kind of just like, yeah, it's a fine juggling act. You just make it work. And that's a great thing about Campbell is he also is the same. Like, he understands when I need to put the business for, like, in front for 2 hours or so, and then he'll take charge and, you know, take Bo for a walk or take her on her quad bike or go to the park, and then it's come back and happy days, happy families, we're back to normal. So yeah, it's very much a fine juggling act.
Acknowledging too that, okay, this might take 2 hours and I'm gonna be in full work mode, but like if I don't do this, I'm not going to be engaged, because at the back of your mind you're like, shit, I really need to send those out. Like, you're not fully present either. So sometimes it does pay to be like, okay, look, I know that this is technically supposed to be family time, but give me 2 hours, give me 30 minutes, and then boom, I'm back. But it's still at the back of your mind, like just kind of chirping away. So you're like, let me just put this to bed so I can focus.
Totally. Yeah, no, I can appreciate what you're saying there.
Now, that kind of does, you keep naturally, thank you, leading into my next question. but the crux question I have with Tall Poppy Talk centers around Tall Poppy Syndrome. And I loved the things we were talking about before we started recording. So without leading you too much, and there's no right or wrong answer, could you please share, like, to you, how you would describe Tall Poppy Syndrome? And then second, how you've experienced it?
I would describe Tall Poppy Syndrome as when someone devalues you. I think that's a really good way to put it as well, because essentially you're kind of like on a high and then someone comes and cuts you down. So it's like either criticizing, attacking, or just plainly someone, I don't know, just disliking you because of your success. And there might be some jealousy behind that. And to be honest, I was thinking about this before. I've been really lucky that I haven't necessarily, well, I can't think of anything off the top of my head where I've felt like I've experienced Tall Poppy Syndrome, where someone has like personally attacked me criticized me or like tried to cut me down. And if it has come up, it wasn't worth even remembering anyway. And sure, you have like negative feedback here and there from people. But I've been really lucky that I am so surrounded by people that are really supportive, and like my little cheerleaders, and it fills up my cup. And it just also means that I'm surrounded by great people, and to keep surrounding myself with them. But like I said, there's always people that will try and bring you down. And I'm sure that there are people that will bring me down behind my back. I just haven't heard of it yet. But yeah, you just have to be positive. And I think if I did hear someone say something, that you kind of just take it as a grain of salt and, you know, go surround yourself with people who fill up your cup, because these people clearly aren't doing that for you.
Beautifully said. And I think too, like, from, I've had a lot of conversations now on the topic of Tall Poppy, and it's like a lot of people say, like, there is value sometimes in critique or criticism. Like, you are a business owner, you want to know if, like,
totally.
Yeah, there's feedback on the product. But sometimes the tone, yeah, like the tone in which it's delivered.
Yeah.
There was Cyril Riley, he's like a producer, but he said that if he gets negative stuff on his music, he doesn't take in the tone, he just takes in the information. So he's like, okay, so you didn't like that. I don't really give a shit that you hated it, blah, blah, blah. He's like, what was the point of what you were trying to say? And let me filter out the attitude around it and just take away like the information. So I'm sure in business, when you do get the feedback, it's like, yep, you acknowledge the emotional element, but it's like, okay, what is the learning? What's the information I can take away from this?
Totally. I think also being in that business community, I'm like in the community, but I'm also kind of like on the cusp as well, because I'm in Cambridge, I'm not in Auckland where it's all happening. So I also feel very blessed that I'm not like in the bullseye, if that makes sense, because I can kind of like step into that circle and then step back and then step back in when I please, which is really nice, because I have friends who are going through it at the moment, being business owners and so forth, where they're struggling with Tall Poppy at the moment. And it's just jealousy. And I'm just so glad. I'm thankful that I'm here, and I do feel so like removed from it in a sense, although I still am running a business and I'm close to the city circle.
Sometimes just literally being out of the physical environment is enough to help create like that compartmentalization in your brain. And Cambridge, I'm very biased, it's a beautiful place. So it's like you go for a walk in nature, or you see the lake, great place. It's like when you're not necessarily in the physical environment, it is so much easier to not disassociate, incorrect word there, like compartmentalize and be like, get some perspective. And then when I dive back in, I can, like, you can just be a bit more grounded. But I was curious for you, like, when you made the leap from juggling like Mitre 10 and Silver Linings Collective to fully Silver Linings Collective, was there like, it's not the external Tall Poppy, was there that internal where you're like,
should I
be doing this? Like,
yeah,
am I, yeah, what,
oh
if
my
I
gosh,
fail?
Totally. I remember coming down and I was working for a company, which I only lasted for 10 months. I think it's like my shortest turnaround in terms of work that I've had, and goes to show. Hated the environment that I was working in. I was getting told what to do every single day, and it wasn't said nicely. And I just felt like an idiot every single day. And I remember having this conversation with my dad when Silver Linings started to pick up. I rang him and I said, oh, it's getting to the point where, you know, I'm having to work heaps of hours after work. I don't think I can like keep managing this way if I want my business to grow. And my dad said, you can't leave. Well, he didn't say you can't. He said, Devin, don't leave your job, or you don't want to leave your job until you're making as much money that you're making in your role now. And I've always been my own person. And if I'm going to do something, I'm going to do it. And I didn't listen to him, and it was the best thing I ever did, was not listen to him in that point, because every other time I've listened to my dad, and I have such respect for my dad, but I just did not listen to him this time. I was like, nah. So I went off and handed my resignation in and ended up getting a job part-time at the design depot, and I was able to work from home. And I was working on their website, and I was only working 20 hours or so a week, and then it left me 20 other hours to work on Silver Linings, which is by far the most amount of time I've like ever spent on the business. And then obviously I got pregnant as well with Bo. So it kind of came at a good time, because in my mind I was like, that's okay, at least I can afford part of the mortgage, because we've just bought a house, with this 20 hours. And then, you know, if I'm making no money, then like at least I've got something to fall back onto. So I think that was like quite a safe way to get where I am now. And then after I had Bo, I just never returned back to work for the design depot. I ended up just continuing on with Silver Linings. But like another sacrifice I kind of had to make was I had that naive mindset that I was going to get a lot done during like mat leave. I'd be able to like work on my business. I was going to be able to reach out to more stockers and do lots of social media content. And it just didn't happen. I want to be honest and say it was actually really rough. I think I was just turned 26. I had a brand new baby. I hadn't seen my mum and dad since I was 17 weeks pregnant because of COVID lockdowns. We didn't have the support that we would have during that whole like time, the 9 months. We didn't even like, you know, go out for coffees and stuff. So this pregnancy has been really different compared to the first. But I made that decision to send Bo to daycare for 2 days a week when she was 6 months old. And that gave me 12 hours a week of dedicated time to work on Silver Linings. And then obviously as she got older, it got longer and longer. She now goes for 4 days, and I still like to keep it like that for a little while more. She's nearly three. I do really like having her home 1 day a week. It's just like a nice juggling act. And I know I'm very privileged. I'm in a very privileged position to be able to keep her home 1 day a week. But Campbell also is out on his own, so he's working for himself. So between the two, we can juggle that and have that flexibility, which obviously owning a business allows and gives you. But there's obviously lots of ups and downs that come with it. And to be honest, this is one of the hardest years that we've ever had in business. Although we've seen the growth, we've invested so much more back into the business just to try and get to where it is at the moment because of the economy. So yeah, we've been extremely lucky in that regard, but it's been working three times harder for it.
No, and thank you. And I think that like the economy, especially in New Zealand this year, has been like that across the board. So both owning businesses, like small kids, I just appreciate the like relatability again there of like, don't be fooled, but like it's very easy. I think part of that tall poppy is to look at you and be like, oh my gosh, but on Instagram you're thriving. And it's like, yes, I am, but the mahi that goes into it can sometimes be very easily glossed over when we're looking with rose-tinted glasses.
For sure. I was just catching up with a friend on a phone call before jumping on here with you, and she was again my little cheerleader. Oh, you're doing so well, you're killing it, this, that, and the other. And then I was just like, this is how it's really going, you know, and I can tell her everything because she's my best friend. And she's like, oh my gosh, like, yeah, you're working really hard for it. I do try and be as transparent as I can and telling people working for yourself, owning a business, having flexibility, it's all very well and good, but you still need to like earn the money as well to be able to afford your mortgage and afford daycare and your bills and your rates and all that kind of thing as well. And I'm not going to lie, there have been months this year where I just haven't taken a drawing because I'm like, nah, we'll just keep it there for safe measure. Don't know what's around the corner. Then you get hit with like GST and ACC and all these kind of things. So again, a fine juggling, balancing act between the two. But it's, yeah, also surrounding yourself with those good people, but also being able to rely on those people who work for you. Yeah, so like our accountant, for instance, I have really good chats with her, and she keeps me on track in terms of where we're at and how we're tracking. And then also taking on staff this year, which has been a real big one. Because obviously prior to that, I haven't had to invest into the business. Like I just haven't done it. I think it's because every year we've kind of been up and up and you're just tracking along nicely. But then last year it got to a point where I was like, oh my God, how am I going to continue growing? Especially when we're going into like an economic crisis, how am I going to keep growing? Okay, I need to invest back into the business. So that's essentially what we've done. And it has been a really hard year, but we're getting there. So just waiting for that Christmas period.
Thank you. It was like when you talk about growth and being like, yeah, I like for you as a business owner, but then also this designer, like there's so many roles you have. Like as it grows and then you do hire people and like your team grows as well. Like the other day I came, this is me, I'm talking for me, not for you, not projecting, yeah. But like self, I think I'm very independent. I'm very independent. I'm very self-reliant. And I was reading something the other day and it was like, okay, self-reliance can also be very self-centered in the sense that like you limit yourself because you're like, well, I need to do it. And actually when you suddenly do bring on staff, in your case, you realize like, oh, high performance doesn't mean I have to do everything alone. High performance means like, instead of being self-reliant, actually realizing like, if I rely on others who are really good at what they do, it like lifts the collective rather than thinking I have to be high performing on my own. So for you with this team that you're building, like I can, again, not projecting, but I can imagine it was kind of hard to be like, I'm so good at doing it by myself. How do I trust other people to do it as well?
Totally. And I think also, you know how I said I'm like somewhat removed from, well, living in Auckland, I no longer do, like, no longer there anymore. So I'm in Cambridge, I'm on the cusp. I'm not in the, like, hustle and bustle of it anymore. So for me to even know about, oh, you should get a business coach, or, oh, you should send out email marketing, like, direct email marketing, like, all that kind of thing. You don't know what you don't know. And it's not until you're talking to other people, which I'm really thankful that I've got a really tight-knit business community of women who support and bring each other up. And it's all these little things that you go, oh my God, I don't do this, I don't do that. Or someone else will do it and you see how well it was working for them. So you're like, I need to jump on that bandwagon, which is exactly what we've done this year. Like last year, I think it was my first full year working on Silver Linings full time. And that was it. Well, when I say full time, it's still 4 days a week, but that was like a full year of Bo in daycare for 4 days a week. So again, the most amount of time I've spent on the business ever. And like after talking with my accountant, she said, what is a pain point for you? And I said, packing orders, like as much as I love it, I love seeing them all come through, do a little happy dance every time I see an order come through, but it takes up a lot of time. So if I can eliminate that and hand that off to someone else to do and to do it well and still with all, like the wrapping and everything, like still doing it with all the love and the care, then I can focus my time on something else to grow the business and not maybe not have to put Bo in daycare for that extra day, you know? So that's when we really started looking kind of towards the end of last year. We made these changes and said, no, for 2024, this is what we need. We need someone to help with our ads. We've always done, like, we've always been organic. So all our sales last year were organic online as well as stockists. This year, we have spent tens of thousands of dollars on advertising, which is all new for me. And it's also risky because it's kind of like gambling in a way. You don't know if it's going to work or not. But we've seen a return on it. So, you know, a friend of mine did it. She recommended it. We're doing it. It's working for us. So it's like that support and that little network that you like bounce off each other. So that's what we've done this year.
That's like an example of the celebrating success, growing more poppies. It's like people who are so focused on like moving the, like lifting the tide and moving people forward, they're not going to gatekeep that stuff because it's not a net zero sum game. They're not like, oh, well, there's only this many people who are going to buy, so I can't tell Devin. They're like, no, girl, like save yourself the trouble. I learned this, try to do it now, and then like you exchange information back on that, like in terms of learning and having that network of awesome other strong women business people. Have there been any, and I'm sure there have been, but like one that maybe sticks out of like a major setback that now you realize like, oh, that was actually like a major learning opportunity and we've grown from it, but like at the time felt like a setback?
I think having to adapt to the market was a big one for us this year. Obviously, we've talked about the economy. It's all over the show. You have a really good week of sales. You have a really crap week of sales. Stores haven't been buying as much because people aren't spending as much, so therefore they're not ordering as much stock from you. And so we have been hustling hard this whole year. But for us, we do a lot of expos. So we have done like women's lifestyle expos. Last year we did one in Hamilton. This year we signed up for 3 just so that we could get better cash flow and try and get, you know, more sales across the board. After that first expo, we realized that permanent jewelry, which is something that we've brought out trying to adapt to the market. The reason why we're just backtracking here, the reason why I looked at bringing in permanent jewelry was because I knew that people are a lot more careful with their money at the moment. They are thinking twice about spending $130 on jewelry rather than just impulse buying it. So when we were doing these markets, I thought, what else could we do? Like, what's the offering that, what other offering could we give them? That's when permanent jewelry was kind of like trending. It still is trending. And to be honest, I think it will be trending probably for another year and a half, 2 years. And I thought, okay, so I was looking at welders, bought a spot welder, had no idea how to use a welder. Luckily, my partner knows how to weld. So he was teaching me. I've then taught Kayla, who's someone who works with me. So Kayla, she comes to the expos with me, as well as packing everyone's wonderful orders. And we started doing permanent jewelry as part of our offering when we go to these expos. It wasn't until we went to our first expo, we thought, shit, like everyone is going for permanent jewelry. And like we hardly had anyone actually buy our jewelry. And I think that just goes to show the sign of the times that people are more willing to spend $65, still walk away feeling like they've, you know, treated themselves to something special. And, you know, it still is technically jewelry, but they haven't spent the $130. So you could look at the setback being the economy, but you have to adapt to what your customers want. And it's still, they still want to treat themselves, but they don't want to pay heaps of money at the moment for it because it's money that they particularly might not have. So being able to give them something else, like permanent jewelry, where you can sell it for $65 or 2 for $100, then they still walk away feeling like they've won something and you still are making money. So for us, it's, yeah, adapting to the economy, and that's, yeah, it's been a huge one.
What's so hard with that is like, yes, there's kind of rule books, but there's also not, because the economy's like no one, even economic commentators are like, we think it's going to do this, but we don't 100% know. So like in your position, you're like, okay, but I need to order either this or this. So like how am I going to order? Like you have
it's
to
like having a backup in a way, isn't it? Like, okay, if I don't sell as much jewelry at this show, at least I've got a backup plan, which is my permanent jewelry. Which I know full well, I'm not going to be doing this in probably 5 years' time. Permanent jewelry is trending right now. So jump on that bandwagon and ride the wave for the time being. I'm just lucky we jumped on it when we did. But like, yeah, it's such a shift in terms of how many sales we did last year of jewelry compared to this year at these shows. People are wanting to treat themselves but not pay the price for it. So that's like a nice in between, I guess you could say.
Yeah, that's so my brain. I'm like, oh, that's so interesting. Devin, before my sign off, is there anything, and I'm sure there's a lot, but is there anything I didn't ask you in this interview that I should have.
I think you covered most of it. And these are all things I haven't really spoke about or really had to think about until obviously in coming on here and having a chat with you. I think, yeah, for us, just this year has been a big one in terms of we've grown. It's been really hard to do so, but we've got there. And adapting to the climate. Because if you don't adapt, it's just going to stay the same and nothing's going to change. And it probably could get worse. So you've got to keep adapting to what people want. Sign of the times, trends. And I think that goes to show what we've done, bringing out like permanent jewelry that has just been such a good, like nice to have backup for us. We're actually doing a pop-up at a store this weekend, like one of our stockers. And we've taken bookings and stuff for it. So we're like all booked out, which is great. So it's just like widening your offering, really.
Thank you. Sign-off question is so just, it just rounds out the Devon experience. If you had to listen to just one musical artist for the rest of your life, who's it going to be?
Oh, I really love country. I have loved it for a few years now. And I like, am obsessed with Chris Stapleton. And I love his collabs that he does, like duos and stuff that he does with like Taylor Swift and, oh, like there's just so many good ones out there, and yeah, we just play them on repeat, really. Just gets, and because we live in the country as well, like we live rurally, it's just like, oh, when the sun's shining, country music playing, out there feeding the chickens, bloody good. Life's good.
And I'm just laughing, smiling, because like it must be so interesting when you think back to like North Shore, or North Shore, Auckland is an awesome place too, but like. Yeah. Listening to country music, feeding your chickens so in different. Cambridge. Who would have thought?
I've said it when I had an interview with Woman's Day. It is a breath of fresh air when you live in the country. We have no neighbours, although we have people up the road, so it's like still nice to be able to, you know, go out for a walk and see them. But it's been the best thing for my soul, honestly, living out in the country. I've just gotten so much out of it. And I just find like, not that I had bad anxiety or anything beforehand, but the competitiveness of just like every day, what you're wearing, how you look, how you come across, is just like not there. Don't get me wrong, like it's still nice to feel good about yourself and so forth, but I couldn't give two shits about what Sandy down the road thinks of me, you know? Like it's, you're just your own person. And I don't know if it's just a thing of where I'm living or maybe I've grown up and my mindset has shifted. I don't know. Maybe my priorities have shifted since having kids, but yeah, life's good.
To wrap up the podcast, I feel like we have powered through some really important topics, but I just want to say thank you for being on the podcast and covering such a range from entrepreneurship to mum to juggling it all. Just you're such a tall poppy and I'm really excited to see what the next like 5 years brings you and Silver Linings Collective.
Oh, Grace, thank you so much for having me. It was such a little surprise seeing your DM through come through. And my cheeks hurt from smiling so much talking to you. So, I appreciate you inviting me on the Tall Poppy potty. It's also nice to reflect upon yourself as well and go, oh, my gosh, like, although it's been a really crap year in terms of the economy, like, we have done well and to pat yourself on the back. So, thank you. Thanks for having me.
Thank you so much for listening to Tall Poppy Talk. We'll see you next time. Feel free to check us out on socials, YouTube, and the website. Thanks for today's guest, and we'll see you all next time. Take care. Be kind.